Friends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Marie.
Yes.
Why are we singing this? Why are we doing that?
I just love to.
Well, you had Life with a Girlfriend.
Well, because we saw Frozen last night, and I think one of the things I noticed that there were times when it was just plain old dialogue that I'm sure they sang it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you going? Over there. I'm going over there.
But you'll be frozen if you go over there.
Over where? Under there. Underwear. Did you say underwear?
You just said underwear. are you wearing your Depends for under awareness?
No, but I would be willing to because I think that's awesome.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do now?
Yes. I love that campaign, by the way.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I love the under Pants Awareness Campaign. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called exactly.
I think it's called Under Awareness.
That's it.
By Depends. Lisa Rinna, remember, she was their spokesperson for a while, and you couldn't tell under her little tight dress that she was wearing Depends.
And she said that she got the most money she's ever made, time-wise,
mm-hmm.
from that ad. I'm like, I believe it.
Right.
And so
what's that old joke, like, I go to the bathroom at,
I'm so regular. I go to the bathroom at 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
and I go number one. Number two, at 7 o'clock in the morning, unfortunately, I don't get out of bed until 8.
Thank you, girlfriend. I knew it was something around like mm-hmm. that, but you did it. You got it.
And I just want to say that my birthday present, which you gave me flowers, a very holiday flower spread,
mm-hmm.
and it came with lilies that were closed, and mm-hmm. one just popped open today.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yes, it is awesome, but you've been hoping that they would last until Christmas.
I hope they still, it's only like, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, right?
Okay.
Well, it only has to, for us, the big party's on Christmas Eve, so
right.
it only has to last for like, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
So I'm hoping.
Is that possible?
We'll see.
Keep
I'm hoping.
Keep putting some aspirin in it.
No, that's true. Can do that, yeah. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, everyone, today is going to be a fun show. We've got a lot to talk about.
Is it really going to
yes,
be a fun show?
I love the way you say it.
I think you kind of you do your prophesying.
Because I'm all about saying what I want to happen.
Yeah. It's like a New Year's prediction. I predict that this is going to be a fun show tonight.
And it will be. Hey, if you like hanging out with us.
Yeah. If you like hanging out with the girlfriends, and you are one of the girlfriends, grab a cup of Joe or some
wine.
Green tea or some, as Julie likes, half hot chocolate, half coffee.
Yes.
I don't know why, but the girl likes the
well,
half and half.
I'll tell you why.
Because mm-hmm.
a whole chocolate, hot chocolate, is too sweet.
Right.
And I cannot stand the taste of coffee. I just can't stand it. I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I do, even two-thirds coffee and one-third hot chocolate,
mm-hmm.
it takes away from the bitterness of the coffee.
Somehow it just cuts it.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm still getting caffeine.
Yeah.
Have
you ever had any coffee with Bailey's Irish Cream?
No, I mean, I think I have, and then you have to add, but this is just easier,
mm-hmm.
But I can only do when I go to a gas station because that's the only time you can get, do it yourself.
Where do you go to get your delicious hot chocolate?
The
marathon.
Marathon down the street.
Shell.
Exactly.
Oh, you're a gourmet.
Yes.
I should say, you're a gourmet.
Well, listen, Mickey D's charges way too much for hot chocolate.
Did they? Yeah, that's right.
I think they do. You can get
that's
a large
like $3 or something, isn't it?
You can get a large coffee for $1
at
McDonald's.
Yeah.
But, you get paid like $2.50 for a small, hot chocolate.
I tell you, whenever I'm in line, I basically only get their like large coffee, that's $1, mm-hmm. or an iced tea, which is $1.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in that line and I just see these people, reaching their arms out of their car and getting one of these hot chocolate drinks with and I'm like, oh my God, you're paying like $3 or $4 for that. For whatever reason, the mother in me wants to like shake my finger at those kids. Like, don't do that.
Right.
Save that money aside.
Save that money. Well, they're targeting the Starbucks kids.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, it's working, I guess.
I guess. Speaking of that, on your birthday, I got to go to Starbucks.
Yes, you did. We drove in, and You treated. We drove an hour. Yes. Took me to my favorite lunch, which was Portillo's.
Yes.
And Mr. Portillo,
we met him like, you know, several years ago, but he just now sold Portillo's. He birthed this chain in the Chicagoland area. Doesn't play golf. Worked hard all his life, and just like in the last month, sold the whole chain for $1 billion.
That's what I heard. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
I've heard him been in.
And I guess he can
times.
Golf now because he said, "I'm not a golfer. I go to work every single day.
Yes.
I love." And really, if you lived in the Midwest, you know that this is a quality chain, and it's run well, and you know, like. Even like with Burger King or something, it is so hit or miss.
Right.
You know, even with McDonald's, it's pretty much always a miss, but, you know, you know what you're getting into. But Portillo's was just such a, I mean, always such great food, always quality food. I mean, but the thing is, you knew you were going to pay for it, too.
Right, exactly. Well, the funny thing is, I go maybe 3 times a year. And I can honestly say the last 3 times I've went, I didn't get what I wanted. They didn't do my hot dog right.
Oh, that's right. The quality control went down.
I'm just saying. It's what it is. I'm just saying.
And I don't understand because I hear you. I want tomatoes on my hot dog.
I know. And one time I just got cheese and a pickle. I'm like, I want tomatoes and cucumbers.
Where did that come from?
I want a little ketchup and mustard. I know people say that ketchup is the worst thing to put on a hot dog.
Especially in Chicago.
Too bad. I like ketchup on my hot dog.
You don't put Chicago.
I don't care.
You don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
I don't care. Doesn't bug me.
Okay.
Doesn't bug me at all.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that.
Were we?
No. I want to discuss this idea of regrets. And do you want to sing that song, Mom? Regrets.
Oh, you talk the Sinatra song?
Yes.
Regrets. I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I wonder if one of them was marrying Mia Farrow.
That could have been a regret.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was hearing someone talk about that song. I think it was This American Life on a podcast. And he goes, you know, I love, the only line I love in that whole song is, regrets, I've had a few. And then he takes it away by saying, then again, too few to mention. Why bother? I'm pretty darn perfect. And it's so true. You know, he talks about, you know, he mentioned the fact that we've all had regrets, or at least most of us have, if you've done things. And
well, they used to say, like, Sinatra, you know, the whole Rat Pack, you know, dudes, they, if they were doing a movie, they never even rehearsed. I mean, they expected to just come in, do what they were supposed to do, and then...
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I can remember, too, in those days, because my parents were fascinated with the Rat Pack and Sinatra and Dean Martin. And one of my mom's best friends, like, adored them and would go to Vegas, like, every weekend if they were, you know, playing or something. And she said that Sinatra had this one, you know, because he's Italian, you know, and he had this one place in out in New York somewhere that, you know, made the perfect pasta for him. And he would have it flown in on his jet, you know, to Vegas to have that. You know, and, you know, they got some okay chefs in Vegas.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But, you know, he had to have his. And so that was just like the epitome of. Yeah, I think you're not thinking about your regrets when you're living life.
Well,
life.
I mean, I do know that people feel like their regrets, that there's no reason to have regrets. The past is the past.
Right.
But I do believe that if you're reflecting on your life, you can honestly say, you know, I wish I would have done things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgiven myself and all the players involved. I've done that. But I could say it's a regret.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same day, within the same, like, an hour later,
right.
Someone was mentioning regrets again, and they were saying, and I, the things I regret are the things that I didn't follow through my heart because of being embarrassed or didn't want to embarrass somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret those times. And I thought that was
interesting. Yeah. So one person was saying the only things I really regret was when I had some, you know, heart instinct, intuition,
yes.
And I didn't follow that.
Right.
Well, you know, I would say that, and I don't know if this is a regret, but when Dad and I were sort of newly married, we saw this ad in the Chicago Tribune, and it was from Boulder, Colorado. This older couple were retiring, and they had an ice cream shop where they made their own ice cream in Boulder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we really didn't know much about Boulder or anything, but
or ice cream shops.
Yeah, but these people were so kind to us, and they said, you know, oh, and they owned the building, and they lived above the shop, and, you know, they were saying, well, you know, we'll stick around, and we'll show you guys how, and, you know, you can live in the apartment above the, you know, it'll just be perfect for you. We got to have this, like, relationship with this older couple, and I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and I think Norm was like, man, our, you know, our folks live in Illinois and all this stuff. And I think, you know, I remember feeling regretful even to this day. Like, how would the trajectory
right
of our life have turned out if, you know, decades ago we would have gone to Boulder and had a little ice cream shop. We would have worked together every day, you know, and I don't know. That's probably a regret for me.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what you have is you don't have the truth. You just have a glimmer of an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can put, with that kind of regret, it comes with so much baggage. Excuse me, I'm just a little dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know how it would have ended.
Mm-hmm.
It could have ended in a fiery, you know, fiery mess, a blaze. You know, or a blaze of glory. Yeah,
it
could have.
It was just like, but here's what it was, though, in my mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was like this older couple, they'd been doing it for, you know, many, many years. They're retiring.
Right.
And we were just going to be a young couple coming in,
yeah,
taking it over. I just didn't, to me, it didn't seem like the, you know, the rush of, you know, adrenaline.
No, exactly.
It just seemed like something sweet. That raising the kids, Dad and I could be, you know, the old mom
right.
and pop store. You know, just that's how I.
I think that's exactly right, because it tickled or it matched the part of you that really, that's who you were.
Right.
Because you were
flat. Or what I wanted to be.
Right, because you were looking down a barrel of years without your husband around because he was an over-the-road truck driver.
Right.
You know, and you didn't have cell phones back then, and it wasn't,
oh.
you know, it was a very lonely existence.
Right.
And so that's what you were, that was the truth that you knew.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the best we could with that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the regret is, I had an opportunity here, you know, and who knows how it would have turned out. But it would have, but it would have been a yes in the right direction.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying about the regret. Like, You know, Dad and I, you know, been married 40 years, and my regret is that a good portion of them has been spent away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back and you know, I missed him, and also he missed a lot of experiences with you guys too.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And so what I mean, maybe we wouldn't have made at the ice cream shop, maybe, I don't know, about income or whatever, but
right.
I see, like, you know, a day-to-day existence, you know, working with each other, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe we would have killed each other. I don't know. I'm just...
Well, no, but you don't know. But,
no.
But you were, it would have been a move in the direction that you wanted to go in.
At that moment, yeah.
At that moment, which
yeah.
was... And staying where you're at was actually a move in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes how it is. Sometimes not deciding to make a change is deciding to stay further away from where you want.
Mm-hmm. I have another one. Am I allowed to talk right now?
Yeah, you are.
Okay,
We're talking about regret.
Okay, because I just remember.
You got a few.
I'm thinking back about 6 years ago when I was just tired of the winters here.
Mm-hmm.
Something. I was just really tired
yeah.
of it. And I started hearing about this little town in Washington that had, excuse me, the same, kind of like between 45 degrees and 65 mm-hmm. degrees all year round. And to me, that's like ideal temperature.
Right, right.
And so I started just, you know, following this little town, yada, yada, yada. And then I was looking on eBay at mobile homes. And I found one in this little town.
Mm.
And it was very, 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 very reasonably priced, you know. And I started, you know, doing all these little, you know, head games that I sent to Norm. Look, we could sell this house, cash out. And I also had you, you know, coming with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to open up a cupcake shop.
Right.
That was in my...
Right, that was it, yeah.
That was it, too. And we were just going to live happily ever after in this 45 to 65 degree zone.
Right.
In Washington State on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Norm knocked that one. He said no to that one, too.
Hmm. What do you do about that, girlfriend?
I don't know. No, I'm getting pissed off.
Yeah. I don't think it was 6 years ago. It was sooner than that. It was more recent than that, wasn't it?
Was it more recent?
I think Lillian was born. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Time is, you know, the older I get...
It's not on your side.
It's not on my side. And as well as it, it's not linear to me anymore.
No. Well, it's so funny because you were talking to me today, like, and Mom, the Rolling Stones wrote this article. And I'm like, the Rolling Stones wrote an article? And I was like, just letting you, you know, run with this. And then my mom going, this has got to be a Julieism or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what
Stones.
The hell she's
and you
talking
probably
about.
Go, oh, the.
And then you said something like, I go, are you talking about the Rolling Stone, you know, Rolling Stone, the magazine paper? Well, yeah, of course, the Rolling Stones.
Well, that's interesting because they brought up another regret. I mean, they had, I don't know if you've been hearing about this big hoopla on the Rolling Stones about...
The Rolling Stones?
Yes, or just Rolling Stone.
Yes.
Is it Stones or Stone?
It's just a Stone.
Oh, Rolling Stone.
The Rolling Stones is the band.
I know it's the Rolling Stones, the band, but it's just Rolling Stone.
Right.
Magazine. Okay. Not Rolling Stones. Okay. Oh, I learn something new every day. Okay. So anyway, in Rolling Stone magazine, they talked about how they've been having lots of rape going on in college campuses. And in this article, they refer to this one woman, you know, anonymously, and telling her story about how she was basically gang raped by a fraternity.
Oh, my God.
Except that when the story came out, people were kind of fact-checking it, and the dates weren't matching to whether there was no party happening at that frat place the day she said it and all this stuff. And so the Rolling Stone did a retraction, saying, and their first retraction said something like, you know, we believe something had happened, but we can't, you know, the facts no longer are there, and it was wrong for us to put our faith into this woman. And then I guess the next day, they had the same retraction, but they took out that line. I guess, you know, we shouldn't have put our faith into this woman. They took that line out.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because it was too harsh.
Yeah.
And they don't know what went on. Because people around her said something did happen, something because she's different, you know, something happened. But what's interesting is that, you know, when we have these regrets, I mean, there's different types, right? There's not following your heart. And then there's not, in some ways, a regret always comes about when, not when you're doing something new and you just made a mistake. You know, you know about that. You know, you're trying something new and you messed up big time, or you opened up a new business and you did your best and it didn't work out, who knows why. That's not a regret. You feel bad. You feel like, oh, this sucks. But you don't feel regretful, because I really believe that regretful has that flavor of, I knew better, you know, or my heart told me something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a part of me that I had to turn off
mm-hmm.
to make this decision work.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I agree with that. Or it's like a huge compromise.
A compromise.
Yeah.
Like
a huge one.
Like they didn't vet her. They didn't do enough fact checking. They could have come up with a different article or not have her story be the main flow or narration of this
mm-hmm.
article.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been still a part of it, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, it was.
So you're saying that Rolling Stone came out saying that they regretted not the article itself,
right?
But that they hadn't vetted this.
I think that's what, initially they regretted putting the faith into this woman's story,
mm-hmm.
and then they took that line out.
Yeah, that just seems so unprofessional mm-hmm. to me that a big magazine like that would not do their due diligence.
Well, and I think.
I mean, can I say something? I really don't know anything about this.
Yeah, and I don't either, to be honest with you. I know it's enough to say an opinion out of my ass, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have them. But we all have opinions. And
hi, Julie.
Just to let everybody know,
Julie.
If you were surprised by that info.
Yes. Oh,
but, yeah. And so... And like, I'll come on Dan Savage. He was talking about his regrets, and he was talking about his regrets being the times when he knew something was going on. Like he was walking down a street, and he really felt somebody following him, and he was behind him. And someone kind of was, but he, you know, it's a street, and people were walking, and he thought to himself, "I should just take off and run, mm-hmm. run someplace different. Do what mm-hmm. I need to do." And he didn't do it. And consequently, he got robbed. And at Knife Point. Yeah, he said it happened 2 or 3 times to him where he was in a situation. And, oh, and one time he remembers, and I'll say this because this is one thing I do regret. You know, he had put himself in a situation that, gratefully, nothing happened, but it could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because he put himself into a situation where not using your best judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of has to go exceptionally right.
Wow.
Not to have something bad happen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't usually happen. Usually, you know, when you're with people or, you know, and you're co-creating in this world, not everybody's on their best behavior
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add alcohol to it, you know, all beds are off.
Mm-hmm.
All beds are off. And I've mentioned this story before, and this is one of my huge regrets in life.
Do I know this story?
Yeah, you know this story.
Okay.
I believe so. It's my friend Melissa. You know, when we were younger.
Oh, okay.
Went to a bar, 22, and, you mm-hmm. know, college, you know, and went to a bar, and I had to go to work the next morning, and it's like midnight, and I'm not a drinker, very light drinker, and I don't think I drank at all because I was driving, and you really put into our brain that you will never drive not just drunk, with any alcohol into your system.
So, did I do that?
Yeah, you did that.
Yay, Mom.
Yeah.
Yay, Mom.
not only will, you know, something bad happen to us, mostly you'll hurt somebody and you'll feel guilty for the rest of your life and you want to, you know, but if you come home, you know, there will be no nice mommy around.
That's right.
So typically I was always the designated driver. And I had taken her, we went to a bar, a local, you know, it was a college town. And I remember her drinking, but not a lot. And I'm getting tired. And I'm like, I really want to go. Let's go. And she goes, oh, just go without me. I'm like, go without you. I'm your ride. I didn't get home. Oh, I'll find. I know people here. They'll take me home. I go, you know people here at the bar. And it wouldn't be uncommon because, you know, it's a local bar.
Guys are townies.
Yeah, exactly. And her more than me because I, you know, but... And she basically said, yeah, go. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, and I knew in my heart that I should have just stayed there. And now, I'm not saying I could have stayed because she was pretty adamant about it, and she wasn't drunk, but she was drinking. And I really feel like I left her, even if she told me to go.
Mm.
I feel like now the reason why I feel this way,
because mm-hmm.
there were consequences from that night. I get a phone call from her mom 48 hours later, not even 24 hours later, saying, do you know where Melissa's at? I'm like, holy crap. I assume she was home. I don't, or living in her apartment. I don't. Because
mm-hmm.
I just got a phone call from her, and she's moving in with somebody. And she met at a bar last night, and they're going to move in together. And I'm like, holy mother of God.
Wow.
You know, this is in 24 hours.
And, right.
And so not only am I talking to her mom, who I know, I'm feeling exceptionally bad that I left my my best mm-hmm. friend at a bar, mm-hmm. even though she told me to, and it was all going to be okay. And
wow.
it wasn't a good situation. I mean, the relationship...
Was this the one where she... did she meet the father of her child?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. The child, you know, it resulted into a child that grew up and, you know, is a man, and that's great. But it was a volatile situation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fun for her. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? That's very you know, I know when you're banding the word interesting about, but I mean, she has a patterning of doing stuff like that, of just like one spelt move.
Right, I understand that.
Changing your entire life.
I know, but
and
it felt like it was on my watch.
She did it on your watch. I
and that
see.
Felt yeah. that felt weird to me.
Yeah,
and the truth is, I got off lucky because something bad could have happened to her,
mm-hmm.
and I would have felt really bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so I always tell, like I tell Doug's girls, whatever you do, never leave your girlfriend behind that bar,
mm-hmm.
even if they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Nothing comes out of it. It comes. You know, if your girlfriend mm-hmm. wants to meet a guy up, meet with a guy, say, you know what, let's get you home first, and then after that, I'm clean.
Mm.
You know, it's reset.
You know,
reset
it's interesting,
button.
Though, because, like, when I met your dad,
mm-hmm.
I went to a bar with a different guy.
Mm.
And then I came home with him. That's pretty crappy of me, isn't it?
It kind of is, girlfriend.
Yeah. You don't leave the dance with the person. You got to leave the dance with the person you came with.
Yeah.
Man, I'm kind of creepy.
Well, you know what? It all worked out, I guess.
Yeah, yes.
You never got to live
above your... I could have been living in Boulder.
Yeah, never got to live above your ice cream shop.
Yeah. Man, I love ice cream, too, man. Chocolate mint chip.
Mm. Yeah.
Strawberry.
You know...
lemon.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about the regrets. I think we just have to learn to live with them. And make lemonade out of them. There are
really?
Lemons. Yes, I know.
You said lemonade again. Oh my God! Every show you tempt me.
That's my new philosophy, and I think it's the only philosophy that works.
Mm-hmm. To make lemonade
out of lemon, and then you just sing your song.
Milk, lemonade. Okay, I'm not gonna do that.
There you go.
Okay.
But I do believe that these regrets. I mean. The things that we feel bad about that happened, the mistakes we've made, mm-hmm. I think those are different than the regrets. The regrets are this knowing that it could have gone, you know, it didn't. We knew in our heart we should have done something different.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose otherwise.
You know, when I was a young girl, like maybe a freshman or a sophomore in high school, we used to have to take the bus everywhere, and I was taking the bus to St. Louis. I think I was going to go meet my mom or something. And a guy stopped at the bus stop and said, oh, I'm going to St. Louis. Do you want to just hop in the car? You know, and I think I even had my Catholic girl uniform on,
no.
a navy blue skirt,
yeah.
and white blouse and navy blue knee highs. And, you know, I wasn't the village idiot. I knew you don't get in cars with strangers, mm-hmm. but I did.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. And... You know, I wouldn't do that now.
Right.
I'm smarter now. But, you know, it was, I got in some trouble, but I got in a lot less trouble than I deserve
right.
to get into.
Well, no, it's an interesting thing.
You know what I'm saying?
You got lucky.
I got lucky.
Yeah. How many times have that happened to all of us where we go, this was not smart that I did this?
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Yeah.
I'm luckier than I needed to be here.
Right.
And
this is the kind of stuff that you can't go run to mommy with. Otherwise, you get beat.
Yeah.
Like, you did what? You got into a car with a stranger?
Are you out of your mind?
Did he hurt you? No, not really. Then I will.
Exactly. Like, okay, sorry. Exactly. And then as Gregory and I were growing up, you used to test us. You'd have us walk in the street.
Yeah, I would.
And you'd give us all these lines, like, hey, little kids, and they come in the car. And we're like, supposed to say, No. We live right down the street. We're okay. We know all the neighbors here. Leave us alone.
What's a safe word?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know. So, yeah, I mean, that's you know what? That's the truth. There are times in our life when we were just luckier than we should have been.
We're luckier than we deserve to have been.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
And to the people who aren't, haven't been that lucky, we understand that too. And it's just, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But
here's the thing, mm-hmm. too. You know, me as a schoolgirl, you know, I didn't have like 5 martinis and 3 reefers in me.
Right. You had all your faculties and you still made a mistake.
Yeah. But can you imagine these college kids that are, I mean, I can remember how my brother drank. They would drink before they went out to get a kind of a mini buzz on so that but to get the buzz that could be cheaper. I don't really know.
No, exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and just the other day, I was talking to a friend and she was talking about a party she went to and, you know, 40-year-olds and they were drinking. It was a 40th birthday party and drinking and someone comes in, a friend of the family, accusing a wife of being, you know, breaking up a family and a homewrecker and all this drama.
Right.
And, you know, and a woman there, you know, was claiming, and I'm like, claiming that she was sexually assaulted and roofied a week before at a bar. And I'm
my Lord.
Like, this is crazy. And,
yeah.
I said, and people are talking like this, which I go, is very suspicious, but here's the problem. Like the woman who said that I was roofied and, you know, I might have been sexually assaulted or whatever, I go, yeah, I feel really bad for you because that could have happened and I don't know if it did or not.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but we have to teach ourselves not to be vulnerable because there are people out there that will take advantage of you.
There are people out there.
We have, you know,
we're all on the internet. No.
No. but we've been told, you know, don't let your bottle be you never leave your drink behind. You keep your drink with you all the time.
Right.
Never let anybody buy you a drink that they could slip something in. You know, I mean, you just know.
Mm-hmm. Man, times were simpler back.
They really
in the
weren't.
Old days.
You got. They really were not simpler.
They weren't. Did you say they were not?
I'm going to say that.
Oh.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I remember being a young kid. And you have a situation too, where, I mean, there are just crazy people and icky people no matter what.
I see where you're going with this.
We both have had situations where we were in a situation where, like, well, this as a kid.
At a theater.
Yeah, you have me at the theater and you at the theater.
Yeah.
You know, where a guy was trying to, you know, be kind of molester.
Yeah.
And luckily, both you and I got a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. There's just, for whatever reason, there are just creeps out there. Yeah. I don't get it.
But I think, I guess what I was referring to is, you know, I guess we were kind of talking about that Rolling Stone article.
Yeah.
And that the amount of you know, drinking that goes on.
Yeah.
And drugs, I'm assuming, really changes your decision-making process.
It does.
And unless you're wanting to do this and you need some kind of unfilter to do it.
I think it's both. I think that sometimes you do want that. And I remember, I wasn't a big drinker, so I missed out on that a lot of times because I just felt, I wish I didn't feel icky on booze, but I never felt good on it.
Never,
I always felt hot, and tired, and depressed.
Yeah.
That's how I felt on it.
Yeah.
But I knew people who would drink to feel better and loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing, right, to loosen up. And it would lead to something, right? And that felt good. But it does seem that people are drinking to the point of passing out a lot more, or blacking out a lot more.
I mean, I can't even imagine... I'm sorry. These drinking so much that a fraternity would gang rape you.
Right. Right.
Sorry about that.
No. Or
because doesn't one person out of, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 guys have common sense to say
no, they don't. I think it's group mentality, really. And I think that's the problem. There's a lot of problems. And it is about saying, because, you know, I've had a friend who I knew was raped, and it was definitely someone broke into her house. You know, it was horrible, you know, and so forth. And that is slightly different than you leaving yourself vulnerable in a situation where you can't, that you have to rely on people who are drunk to take care of you.
Right, right.
That's insane.
Right.
That's insane. You know, and so why aren't we teaching our kids not to drink to the point of, do you need some more water, girlfriend?
I've got some here, so.
Oh, good.
You know, just got a tickle.
No, I understand that. I understand that. We're actually, this is the best we've sounded in 2 months.
I know.
This is much better. So I don't know what's going on in the world.
Keep taking my C, my vitamin
exactly.
C.
Exactly. And so I think that is a place we can look
it's really
like,
how a do we do that? It's really a continuum.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because there, I remember this, was it, it might have been a show I was watching, but they were talking about date rape mm-hmm. on campuses and that they needed a policy, you know, for that or some kind of consent form or whatever.
Right.
And so you've got
consent to rape.
Some, I don't know.
Yeah.
You may be like, I didn't mean like you have to sign a consent form to have date rape. But you know, but there's this continuum, like, you know, did I consent to it? You know,
right.
But or you know, did he ply me with drinks? And then, you know, you go on further down and you got, you know, you're at a fraternity party and, you know, everybody's drinking and you're drinking. You know, I mean, it's a huge morality play, isn't it?
It is. And there's no real right answer because there are some women who would say, I wanted to have alcohol. I wanted to drink until I got drunk, and I wanted to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I think that there should be homeschooling for college kids.
There you go. We can't even.
That's what the parents are for.
There you go. You know what? Who knows? But it was funny today. I mean, I want to move on from this because it's kind of taken me down a different path than I really want to talk about.
Oh,
because,
really?
Well, I mean, in the sense of the rape and all that stuff, because we're talking about it a lot. Because I guess I'm too old. Because I just feel sad.
Yeah,
I just feel incredibly sad.
I know most of this stuff. Doesn't it just leave you just incredibly sad?
Yeah, because I don't want to judge people. Because I know that crap just happens, and you don't want it to happen. And yet, I want to tell men, you know, dude, if a girl is drunk and she's being flirtatious, don't screw her because you don't know, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a moron, you know? Don't mm-hmm. be a moron. I want to tell kids that, but mm-hmm. what the hell?
They need to hear it, but...
Not for me, because I'm not the right person. Because I remember being in college and doing a report. I must have come across some fruit or something, because we had to have peer review.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done pretty good in the class, and I had pretty good marks on the speeches. And then this one speech, I don't know what it was about, but I must have came across so prudish
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. the one person wrote, "Have you ever heard of hedonism?" And I'm like, "Oh God!" I'm like, "Hedonism? Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know what that pertains to my speech, or
yeah, what? How did it?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not into that enough, or I'm." You know, I don't know what was the point of that, but I think the point was you're coming across like a prude, you know. I don't know. So I'm not the right person to talk to people about this stuff for sure. And so forth.
Gotcha.
So can I move on a little
bit?
Sure. Because like I said, I just feel sad. And I do want to talk about two things before we end the show.
Mm-hmm.
One, this quote that came up today that I want to bring up real quick before I bring up my favorite podcast, Serial, and how it's ending next week.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote I'm going to do the podcast first. I'll end on a quote. So anyway, one of my favorite podcasts is number one. It's called Serial. And it's based on This American Life, but what they're doing is they're taking one story and diving deep for like 12 episodes. And this one actually has, 12 episodes. They're about 35 to an hour long, each episode. It's about this court case. A man in Baltimore, Maryland, senior in high school, was convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend in a heat of rage. And he's Pakistani. Well, he's American, but his mom and dad are Pakistani, and they're Muslims and so forth. And they did a really good job of diving deep into very interesting topics in this court case. And recently they talked about just the small, how racism and bias filled this court case, even though no one tried. Everybody was really trying not to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But still, the jury would say, he's Muslim, and sometimes Muslim men don't treat their women really well.
How long ago did this happen?
1999.
Okay.
So, we're looking at 15 years. And he was convicted of the crime. And just stuff like that. And all the rumors that came about and how there really was no truth. Now, we may never really find the answer to this. We may never know if this person really did commit the crime, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because you read about the Serial podcast, and you said...
Oh, I read it in Entertainment Weekly, and I haven't heard it. And then they were just saying it's like, number one podcast.
Yes. And then you told me the ending.
I didn't know. You didn't know.
I didn't know. You gave me one. You said something about the court case. I'm like, I didn't know that. That's happening next week.
And then you cursed me out, girlfriend.
I said, oh, my God. Yes, I did. Do you regret saying that now, girlfriend? No. But it was interesting because he was talking, the man who's now in jail, who was convicted of the crime, he talked about his regrets and that he proclaims he's innocent. And one of the things about our system is that if you proclaim you're innocent and then keep holding on to that belief, when your parole comes up, they're not going to give it to you because they want you to be remorseful. And so, how you play this line, if you really didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
you kind of at some point need to say you did to even have a chance of being paroled.
I've seen that kind of like on TV.
Yeah.
They...
And he also commented that he asked his lawyer to give him a plea bargain. And the reporter goes, why? You're innocent. Because no one is found innocent of first-degree murder. And I was looking at spending the rest of my life in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that. And so he was talking at one time and saying, the one thing that I regret is that I wasn't a better Muslim. And if I would have been a better Muslim, this wouldn't have happened to me.
Why was that?
Because he was being a teenager. He was, and this, when a story starts off, well, I was kind of high that day. You're like, oh, my God.
Oh,
man. You're laughing. You're leaving yourself open to crap happening to you.
Mm-hmm. When they say high, do they mean...
They mean pot, I'm sure.
Meaning pot?
Yeah.
I just don't see how pot makes you murder.
No, it didn't. Well, he's saying it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, he said he was doing drugs, he was drinking, he was dating. In his culture, it wasn't appropriate for him to date unless they were heading towards marriage, and
mm-hmm.
he wasn't dating a Muslim at the time.
See. Oh, I see. Okay.
And so he was saying that...
I get
if
that.
If he would have just been a better Muslim,
mm-hmm.
none of this would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it took him to be in prison to be a better Muslim. And he turned into a really devout Muslim. He said everybody likes him here and there's structure here. He's managed to etch a life in prison.
Hmm.
And what was interesting, though, is that his community around the mosque, they said everything changed when he was convicted of the crime. Because what would happen is... parents wouldn't let their kids ride in cars with non-Muslims or the opposite sex. Like, everything just shut down because if you felt that he was innocent, then he was convicted because he was a Muslim. And that wasn't going to happen to anybody else's kid.
Right.
That was very interesting as well. Yeah.
This is in Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland is where it happened. And there's a lot of things in this case. I'm going to highly recommend anybody to listen to it because there has been so many different aspects of this case that really shows us human frailty in so many different ways. I mean,
I think we're lucky that things even work remotely.
I completely agree with you.
You know, the way things should break down.
Yes.
You know, like how we said we were kind of luckier than we deserve to be.
Yes.
I kind of think about that like every day.
Yeah. And what does Dave Ramsey say on his radio show? How you doing? Well, better than I deserve to be. Because sometimes you just go, God, I'm really just lucky like not a lot of crap has happened.
You know, like we love our Elliot. Mm-hmm. He's been with us a week now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know we were saying his praises last Sunday because he had just been with us for 24 hours.
Right.
But that little guy is a pooping machine.
Yes, he is.
For 9 pounds or 8 pounds, he poops more than anything. And you're always telling me, right, that's his puppy nature.
Yes.
So I don't have a bias against him pooping.
Right.
You know, that's his nature.
That's his nature.
So, I mean, a lot of times when we say something about someone, it just is what it is. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that we have a bias or a prejudice.
Well, unlike our quote last week.
Against something.
Right. Well, I know. There is this fine line, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
About a bias or
a prejudice.
Prejudice or it's just a truth.
Yeah.
Or it's just statistically.
It's just your puppy nature.
It's their puppy nature. I mean, today I said to Dad, "Good Dad, we just need to relax on this because we're not dog whisperers here. Mm-hmm. He'll grow up fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll take him to disobedience class. He'll be fine, all right?"
He's kind of a pooper and a nipper.
Yes.
I mean, he's a darling.
Oh, he's beautiful.
He's beautiful and he's darling, and I love him dearly. But he's not perfect.
No, and I remember this with our other dogs. They just went to the stage where they were pooping and chewing because they're just, you know, 13 weeks
old. It goes
right
in and just goes right. There's nothing else in between.
That's right. They're too small.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right in one end and out the other
really
fast. But the one thing I want to say about the serial case real quick,
sure.
The serial podcast in this case, is that there's a part, I'm not going to tell anything about it because I really want people to listen to it, and you can go to iTunes and listen to it, but there's this one part that I think has, that I think is so true. She hired an ex-cop who's an investigator to look at the case and to give the opinion of it to see if the police officer did a good job.
Who is she, though?
The reporter.
Okay.
And the police officer said, oh, they did a great job. They did everything they were supposed to do and so forth, and they looked at all the different ways, and I can see where they came up with this conclusion that he did it. And what was interesting, though, he brought up the fact, he goes, but there's one thing I think is interesting, because we have the recordings of his accomplice, in quotation marks, I'm putting my little bunny ears up, his confession and how he helped him do it, helped our guy who was convicted do it, didn't want to. He said, but he was being interviewed for 2 hours before then, and that wasn't recorded, and I would have liked to have heard that, because this sounds too... organized.
Yeah, pat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I go, there it is. That's that's what we needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, so that's another dimension.
Right, and
that
I
you
did,
add that to it.
Yeah.
Then you're right, you know. Who knows the truth?
We won't know the truth.
Mm-mm.
The real truth.
Mm-mm.
We can have an opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, the end result is still
I go to my mind
child.
Palace
yeah.
about
yeah.
Kind of these justice things. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, you really go crazy about the injustice in the world, all of it, you know.
Oh, it was so funny. Hillary was saying to me that she was gone away for the weekend, and she was with a couple of kids, not her own, or like niece and nephew, and they were complaining because they had to stay in their room because the adults were out having fun. And they're like, I want to go out. And she goes, and he goes, it's not fair that we can't leave and we can't go out. And she goes, you know, life is not fair, and I can't have gluten. So, tough crap. You think life's fair? I can't have gluten. You can stay in this room for an hour or two. And I said to her, because she's got celiac, I said, your kids are going to not be able to get anything past you.
Oh, that's hysterical.
No,
what was that one kind of joke we heard about gluten?
Oh, yes, on Seth
Meyers?
Meyers. He said, you know that band that sang the song, What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah, What Does the Fox Say?
Yes, they came up with a new song. And it's about people who are gluten intolerant. You know what the song is called?
What?
What can't the fox never shut up about?
You know, I for some reason I love that because anybody that you know that doesn't have gluten, it's like, I don't have gluten.
I know.
I'm going to say 90% of them don't have celiac, okay?
Right, exactly.
But mostly it's just like, I don't have gluten. And don't even have a knife that comes near
gluten.
The knife that cuts the gluten.
Exactly. We have a separate kitchen that's gluten-free.
Yeah.
A gluten-free kitchen. That's what we have. So before we start wrapping this show up, I want to talk about the quote that I've been kind of focusing on this week.
Yeah, what is the quote, girlfriend? Mm-hmm. Do I know it?
I talked to you about today. A little bit.
Is it Anna Eastman?
No. I can't think of the guy's name who wrote it. He was on Oprah today. On Super Soul Sunday.
Oh, okay.
At 6 in the morning.
Deepak Chopra?
No. I can't think. He's a poet. I don't know why I'm not seeing it. Okay. But anyway, I'll try to remember the name. But real quick, what it's about was it said he had cancer. And he said, I came to the point where I could say, I might be broken here, but that doesn't mean I have to say the world is broken. And somebody else was saying that, you know, I may have this one thing wrong with me, cancer here, but that doesn't mean that the rest of my body can't work appropriately or that the rest of the world can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in me struck a really big chord in the sense that there are things that are broken in me right now physically that I'm still dealing with. But yet, overall, I don't see the world as broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see myself as broken.
I love that, Jill, because, you know, it helped me, too, because, you know, I have, like, these major back issues, right? And sometimes I see my life defined by that.
Right.
When it's not true.
No.
I mean, it's just simply not true, but... the idea that there may be parts of you that are broken, if you want to say that,
right?
You know, but that doesn't mean that you're broken.
All broken, yeah. That you're all broken, or that you're broken in the big sense,
right?
And that I have to see the world is broken, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was confirmation because,
that's sweet.
Yeah, and I would like people out there to say, if there's things that you feel broken about, whether they're spiritual, emotional, or physical, even financial, I guess, you know, we can say they're broken. They're on their way of being fixed or cured or worked with or healed.
Mm-hmm.
But I can choose to see the rest of me as unbroken or fine, and I can choose to see the world not broken.
And by you doing that, you put things into proper perspective,
right.
For sure.
I was hearing this one Christian song today, and they were talking about, it was this kind of cute song, but it said, I was talking to God, and I'm paraphrasing, and I said, God, why is this going on? Why is this injustice, and why aren't you doing anything about it? And the answer was, well, I created you, so you could do something about it. And I'm like, oh, there you go, God. Always thinking.
Something over on you.
Always thinking.
It is a tough one, though, you know, to love God, look at the injustice, see suffering, and all of the above, and remember, you know, that Jesus loves me, you know, from the early Bible song, you know.
Yeah.
It really requires a level of maturity that I imagine takes a lifetime. Mm-hmm. But my favorite quote that I was working with this week was 99.9% commitment is hard, 100% commitment is a lot easier.
And that's been great to like end the show with, because we've been talking about that.
Yes.
This idea that whatever your goal is, if you just have your toe in, or even up to your neck in, it's still not the whole body.
Mm-mm.
And it's just miserable because there's always an out.
Yes. Push me,
there's
pull
always
you.
An out.
Always, yeah.
What is that? If you want to, you know, when you get, if you want your goal and you're, you know, burn the boat down when you get to the island.
Right.
So there's no way of getting off.
Right.
You've got to succeed.
Right.
You've got to do it.
There 100% is, in, baby. 100%
in. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Actually, it's not going to be easy at all, but it takes the conflict out of your head.
Yes.
That internal conflict of saying, that was a mistake,
it's
not a mistake.
The little angel on one side, the little devil on the other.
So today, think about that this week. Can I
be
jump?
100% in.
Whatever it is, whatever, if it's a belief system,
right.
It's a, whatever it is.
Go big or go home.
Could jump all the way in.
All right,
everyone, I want to say thank you for listening to Life with a Girlfriend.
I enjoyed myself
week.
Tonight, Julia.
I enjoyed
great.
Myself, too. And you can always find us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com. And
buy our book on Amazon,
yes.
The Clutterfly Effect.
Please. That would be awesome. Support the radio show. Thank you so much. And, Mama?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.